Some people would say to live is to be successful, or to live is to be famous, or to live is to live for pleasure. Whatever it is, you are making a choice, but at the end of your life, the only one who can save you is Jesus Christ. Well, you know that I have been repeating a scripture over and over again recently. You should all have it as a memory verse by now. What am I going to say? John 17:3. And this is eternal life, that they may know him, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom he sent. That we may know you, Jesus, that we may know you, Father. This is the very essence of eternal life, that they may know him. And this is what we live for. This is what life is all about as a believer. That's our deepest heart cry. Whether you know it or not, that is the one thing. When you're feeling like, what do I want? What do I want? Your spirit is crying out, I want to know him more. Because you love him. The Spirit of Christ within you yearns for deeper and deeper fellowship with him. And it is the very essence of eternal life. It's what it was all for. It's for the joy that Jesus endured the cross was that we may know him. And the knowledge of God is not a one-off thing that you go, yes, tick that box, done, check that off. I've got that, the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God is eternal. It's eternal life. It's something that we continually discover more and more. We get to know him by reading the Word of God. As I read through the Word of God, I'm reading with this deep desire. God, I want to know you. As I'm reading this, I want to understand you. I want to know your heart. I'm keeping a little personal list as I'm reading through the Word of God. What does my Father value? What's important to him? How can I bless him? How can I love him? What I want to know about you. I want to understand you more. So through the word, I want to learn, what do you value? And there's so many wonderful things that we learn through the word of God. And as we seek him, the Bible says we will find him. Hallelujah. It's a promise. It's not a vain thing. I was sharing the other night as I was worshiping and talking with the Lord. I was playing a new song that I'd heard. I think it's on Stephanie Gretzinger's latest album, but she was singing about the Lamb of God who hung between thieves. And as I'm listening to this song and worshiping the Lord, I just got honest with God and said, Lord, as I think about this picture of the Son of God, the King of Kings, hanging there between thieves. I understand it historically, sort of, but I can't really say I understand and know. I don't know what you were going through. But as I talk to you, I know you. You've made yourself real on the inside, but bridging the gap between what I understand historically and this God that I know is the Holy Spirit revealing the mystery of the love and the sacrifice, the goodness, the unending mercy of Jesus Christ. That is the mystery he wants to unfold to us day by day. And sometimes if you are struggling to say, well, I'm finding it hard to connect, or I'm finding it difficult. I shared that a couple of months ago when I was at the Greater Things event in Oklahoma, Martin Smith was leading worship, and like he's just amazing worship leader. But I was so tired. I was jet lagging. It was right in that time when I should have been deeply asleep according to my body clock. And I was struggling. And I wanted to engage in worship, but I was just tired. But as I'm there going, okay, oh God, I remembered how I'd been reading in Deuteronomy about the Lord speaking to the Israelites and saying, you've been at this mountain long enough. It's time to cross over. And I knew, oh God, I don't want to just camp at this mountain. I don't want to ever spend a worship time just getting through it or just being in it. Because I got converted in worship. I got honest with God as a teenager in worship saying, I can't see you and I don't know you. It's just really hard to sing to someone I can't see and don't know. Help. And he did. He did help me. And I found him. And you know, I keep finding him every time I look with an expectation and a desire to know him. He reveals himself in fresh ways. But it requires a bit of effort, a bit of intentionality. Okay, so I'm really tired. I'm like, okay, God, I don't want to just go through it, you know, and get through it because I'm tired. I do want to know you more. I want to connect with you. I want to bless you. I need your Holy Spirit to help me. Because Jesus told us that the Father is seeking worshipers who worship him in spirit and truth. That is, not that you'd worship him just as what you know about him historically or according to the level of your last encounter with him, but the Holy Spirit wants to give you revelation that supernaturally provokes you to a genuine expression of worship in connection with the one who is enlightening the eyes of your understanding in the knowledge of him. There's something supernatural that happens by the power of the Holy Spirit that is available to us every time we come to pray, every time we read the Bible, every time we worship. There is an invitation to look up with an expectation that the Holy Spirit wants to help me see him afresh, know him afresh, believe in a fresh way. Sometimes when I'm struggling and I'm a bit tired and I'm not feeling it, I still have this same desire. God, I don't want to just camp at this mountain. I need to connect with you fresh today. I'll just break through by starting to say, I believe in you. I believe in you. Even if I can't see, even if I can't hear, I believe in you. This is what I know. I believe in you. And just by starting to say that, the Holy Spirit starts to come and give me strength. And then I might just start to say, and I thank you. I thank you for your presence that's been with me since before I even knew you. And I remember as a child being aware at times that I'm aware that God's here. I'm aware that you've been with me throughout my life, and God, I'm thankful. And as I start to give thanks, I start to get stronger. I start to get more and more filled with joy, and maybe the tears start to come. They come more easily when I'm really tired. Hallelujah. But whatever it looks like, the Holy Spirit wants to help you. He never expects you to worship him in dryness or in obligation. But if you will come with an expectation that the Spirit of God is your ever-present help in time of need, especially in your time of recognizing your need. My time of need is all the time. It just is. But in those moments when I feel particularly weak or particularly dry, that's a time of need, and I have a promise. I have a time of need. I have a promise. He is my ever-present help in my time of need. He's a very present. He's here to help me right now. Hallelujah. And as I come and I come before him as I pray, we've been reading from Romans chapter 12, that beautiful passage. Romans 12, verse 1. Beloved friends, what should our proper response to God's marvelous mercies be? To surrender yourselves to God, to be his sacred living sacrifices, and live in holiness, experiencing all that delights his heart, for this becomes your genuine expression of worship. Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in his eyes. To surrender ourselves to God as living sacrifices is worship. It's something that as we do that, we can put our faith that there will always be a response to an altar. As long as the earth remains, God told Noah, seed time and harvest will remain. He said that promise in response to the altar, to the offering that Noah brought to him. As we bring our lives as living sacrifices, God, here it is, I put it on the altar. Here's my life. He receives it as worship. And as we worship him and look to him with the faith that there will be a response from heaven, when we seek him, we will find him. When we call on him, he will manifest himself. Hallelujah. And God wants you to be those that live in faith, worship in faith, pray in faith, offer in faith, give in faith. In everything we do it by faith, believing there will be a response from heaven. Hallelujah. And so sometimes as I come before the Lord to bring my life, my family, my people, our friends, our elders, our partners, all the people, as I put them on the altar, I am believing there'll be a response from heaven. I'm believing God will bless them. And I've been seeing God do remarkable things. But as I bring my life every day as a living sacrifice, here it is, God. I'm not coming in religiosity or in legalism, thinking that I'm doing some great thing. Here am I, God. I give you my life. Here it is, a living sacrifice. I give it to you. Oh, give you everything, God. I don't do it with a sense of, aren't I great giving you everything? I come there before him thinking, I feel like all I've got is pebbles, God. All I've got is, here's my life. Weak. Here it is. But I give it to you and I say, thank you. That as I give you my life, Lord, you give me yours. And oh, God, what a privilege it is. This is my response. I'm not doing this to get something from you. This is my response to your marvelous mercies. I bring you my pebbles. I bring you my life. I bring you the ashes. I bring you who I am. I give myself to you knowing that you have shown yourself to be faithful to me. And it's beautiful. I've been working my way through the book of Joshua, and it's a remarkable book. I shared the other day from Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked. Say, lifted his eyes and looked. Remember, God is looking for you to lift up your eyes and look. As we were driving to Toowoomba yesterday, they had a billboard, look up and live. And it was a tractor about to put its tractor in electric wires. So they were saying, watch out for the electric wires, look up and live. But as I'm looking at that going, yeah, that's right, look up and live. Look up and live. Because if you look up, he will be found by you. Joshua, as they'd come out of this place where they'd circumcised everybody, out of this place of what is a picture of coming as a living sacrifice, he looked up. And he had an encounter. Now, when you bring your life as a living sacrifice, you need to look up with an expectation to see the response from heaven. Hallelujah. And there was a response, and this was that he saw, behold, a man stood opposite him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said, are you for us or for our adversaries? So he said, no, but as commander of the Lord's armies, I've now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped him and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. And Joshua did so. And the Lord came. He revealed himself. We call this a Christophany, a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus. Are you for us or for them? No.
Ooh. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords.
You know, so often we like to think, God, you know, come and help me in my project, or come and help me in my situation. And God was realigning Joshua's thinking as he was about to step in and do the impossible by the grace of God and to take hold of the promised land. He needed him to remember that God wasn't coming along to help them, but that Joshua was actually on the Lord's side, that Joshua was on Team Jehovah, hallelujah, that it wasn't about him and his success or him and his mission. It was about the Lord. It's all about the kingdom. And when we recognize, oh, it's the Lord, and we come to that place of acknowledging his lordship and worshiping him and laying down our agendas, laying down, you know, we can get all worked up. I've seen people get all worked up. Oh, I've got this promise. When's it going to happen? Or I've got this calling I need. Oh, what's going to happen? As though they're on their own waiting for God to do something. And we've forgotten that actually it's not about us. We come as living sacrifices. Praise the Lord. I was reading in Philippians today, Paul, and there were reports coming to Paul that some people were preaching out of bad motives, some people preaching out of good motives, and he said, but what does it matter so long as Jesus is being preached? To live is Christ and to die is gain. I thought, that's beautiful. Because he understood it wasn't about Paul and his ministry and his renown. It was about Team Jesus. It was about Jesus being glorified. So long as people heard about Jesus, that was all that mattered. Hallelujah. So then I, as I've worked my way through Joshua, we come to Joshua 24. Verse 14, and Joshua is at the end of his life, and he is speaking to the whole of Israel, and he sums up all the amazing things that the Lord has done, the way that the Lord has miraculously delivered the land into their hands, the way he has overcome the giants, the way that he has done supernatural miracles, parting the Red Sea, parting the Jordan, and doing supernatural things. And he recounts the goodness and the faithfulness of God. And then he says here in verse 14, now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers, which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know, as I read that and I think about that, I remember that we every day have a choice. We have a choice to make. Who will we serve? You know, as I mentioned before in Philippians chapter 1 verse 21, Paul says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. This idea, I am choosing Jesus, because when I come into Jesus, when I acknowledge his lordship, when I lose my life to find his, I find life in him. And to live is Christ. It's all about him. Now, sometimes we get the idea that to be all in is only for the preachers or the fivefold ministers. That all in must mean giving up your job and becoming a preacher. But that's not what all in means. All in isn't being a professional Christian. All in is about your heart. God's not looking for your valiant sacrifice. He's looking for your surrender. He's looking for your heart. I used to make some great big vows when I was young, and I'd be thinking, I want to impress God with how much I can give up for Him. You know, thinking that this is what would please God. I told this story on Friday night. I remember once someone gave me a compliment on my hair, and I thought, oh, there you go, there's an idol. I have to sacrifice that to God. Oh, I've got to cut my hair off. I'm so vain, and that'll just give God glory if I do that, because then I won't have any more idols. You know, people do. They make all sorts of, I'll do this for God. I'll do this for God. With the desire to please Him, but in the ignorance of not understanding that God's not looking for you to climb a great big mountain or to do something great. He's looking for you to humble yourself and bring Him your pebbles, to bring Him your life. Here it is, God. The Lord kindly spoke to me. He said, Catherine, I'm not looking for your hair. I want your heart. Hallelujah. He's a kind God. But I believe that that's an attitude sometimes we misunderstand when we think about this all in. To live is Christ, to die is gain, to be a living sacrifice is what I want for my life. We can get the idea that we're doing something great. I'm giving my life to Jesus. When in fact what's happening is it's not about me anyway. It's about me acknowledging, oh, you're God. You're the God who created the world. You're Yahweh that revealed yourself to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and Joshua and David. That same God who I read about in this book is with me in my bedroom. Oh God, I worship you. And as I acknowledge Him and I honor Him, we come into a place of covenant where the Lord says, and I will take care of you, and I am for you. Though in the initial stage, Joshua was asking, are you for us or for them? And his answer was no. After that, we read continually through Scripture, throughout the Psalms, in Romans, throughout the Word of God, we read, God is for you. God is for me. Of whom shall I be afraid? If God be for me, who can be against me? I am on your side. Over and over, many, many scriptures. Why? Because when you come into a covenant that acknowledges His lordship and you humble yourself and lay your life down, He says, now we are one and I will never leave you. I will never forsake you and I will take care of you. Hallelujah. And so daily as we come and we offer our lives as living sacrifices, we are doing ourselves a wonderful favor, reminding ourselves, oh God, I'm on your side. I'm on your team. You're my God. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you that it's no longer Catherine who lives, but Christ who lives in Catherine, and not by her works, not by her great achievements or her big sacrifices, but because by the grace of God, I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer me who lives, but Christ who lives in me. I've been raised up with Him. Hallelujah. I've been forgiven, and I remind myself today, your mercies are new every morning. I remind myself today in thanksgiving, thank God for the blood of Jesus. Thank you that you've delivered me from myself. Thank you that you've delivered me from sin and shame and fear and guilt. Hallelujah, I've been set free. Bringing my life as a living sacrifice has brought me into the freedom of discovering that to live is Christ. How would you answer that question? To live is, some people would say to live is to be successful. Or to live is to be famous. Or to live is to live for pleasure, to be happy. But you know, as you seek after these things, everybody serves somebody. Whether you believe in a God or not, choose this day whom you will serve. You will choose. You will choose either self-indulgence or pleasure or success or intellect or whatever it is. You are making a choice. But at the end of your life, the only one who can save you is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He's the one that as we choose him, we choose life. And we're not just choosing fire insurance. We're not just choosing a ticket to heaven. We are choosing eternal life that begins right now. And I discover the more I live in joyful, faith-filled surrender that believes that he accepts my pebbles. The more I live in that place, the more I discover the freedom that comes in Christ. In his light, I see light. I recognize, wow, I've had that attitude or that judgment against that person for so long. Hey, sorry, thank you. Thank you for helping me see that. Hooray, greater levels of freedom as I discover him helping me to walk out this glorious life and life more abundant. What's your answer to live is? To live is Christ and to die is gain, and it's the why that keeps us going. I choose Jesus because Jesus is my Savior. He's my protector. And when I choose him, I come into the blessing of God.
Living in Queensland, we sometimes have an interruption in the middle of the night as possums in our roof create a terrible racket. 4 a.m., they can be hurtling around and screeching. And you know what? That's so much like the way the enemy wants to distract you and disturb you. We need to recognize those things that are intruding into our thoughts and take them captive. If you don't do something about it, those possums are going to misbehave every single night. We've had to go and patch the hole in our roof to stop them coming. You need to make sure that you're being proactive with those things that are trying to disturb you, trying to cause you anxiety. Take them captive by the Holy Spirit and replace them with the truth of what God is saying, because God wants you to live in freedom. For more on how to live in supernatural freedom, I want to encourage you to read my book, Supernatural Freedom: Overcoming the Greatest Barriers to Fulfilling Your Destiny.